Thank you, everyone. Interestingly, when a new hire comes on board at LinkedIn, one of the first things that we have people do as they introduce themselves is to exhibit a special talent that nobody knows about. So you can imagine the shenanigans that happen there, as well as to tell everybody about a talent that is not on their LinkedIn profile. So I don't have any extraordinarily glamorous talents, so I'll just tell you that one thing that's not on my LinkedIn profile is that Italian was my first language. My parents came from Italy, and that was the only language they spoke, and so I was the interpreter and took things ahead that way for the family. In any case, I'm here to tell you a little bit more about LinkedIn and share with you some interesting tidbits about how content marketers find success on the platform. We'll go into a case study on Microsoft OneNote, and that's a really interesting case study because everybody knows Microsoft, and people might know OneNote because it's a productivity tool, but they were trying to address a really, really niche audience, and you would think that they'd find difficulty with that when in fact they didn't. And then the last thing we'll talk about is best practices around content marketing on LinkedIn. So when you think about LinkedIn, you usually think about job boards and professional profiles and, you know, things that are related to the individual, when in fact, what we're thinking about in bigger terms is creating economic opportunity for professionals around the globe. And that doesn't necessarily mean only individuals. It could mean corporations, it could mean universities, it could mean all kinds of things. And so what we're looking at specifically is creating a digital linkage between all of these major anchors to economic growth. And we're calling it the economic graph. So let's think about this for a moment. What does that mean? It means that we link members to the companies that they work for or want to work for or are interested in, to the jobs that they're interested in, to the kinds of skills that they exhibit on their profiles or try to develop. Of course, the updates, the content that comes from their professional profile posts as well as the company posts, and the schools that they've attended or would like to attend. So when you think about that from a global perspective, somebody in China, where we do have a LinkedIn office, might be interested in a job that's in London or going to school in London. And so LinkedIn makes it super easy for you to find the right people to connect with to make those kinds of things happen. So LinkedIn is the largest professional network that exists. We have 414 million members. That means that we are very rich in data. Every professional profile that exists has at least 24 data points that you can target against. And so as an example, there are 10 million opinion leaders. These numbers are probably outdated. They were from a couple months ago. 40 million decision makers, 61 million senior level influencers, 4 million IT decision makers, lots of C-level execs as well as mass affluence. So you see that there's a wide variety of people, and we haven't even talked about other verticals. I mean, we're talking about just overall what this looks like. So it's a huge landscape. So LinkedIn Marketing Solutions is most likely where you're familiar with advertising. Has anybody here advertised on LinkedIn? Great, okay. So our mission is to be the most effective platform for marketers to engage professionals. So when we think about content marketing, especially in this digital landscape, and marketers are really trying to reach the right people that can either influence their brand or can engage in such a way that produces higher social lift and click-throughs, as well as more demand generation for products that they sell. So the way that we think about content marketing is really a function of how we think about our members engaging on the platform. So there's a ton of content. Members come to LinkedIn so that they can read industry news, so that they can get expert advice, so that they can really learn from in a professional setting. Some of the examples from that perspective are our recent purchase, or not so recent, back in 2015, of lynda.com. So is everybody aware that lynda.com is part of LinkedIn? Great, yeah. And so we also look for peer insights. The LinkedIn platform is great for recommendations. Those are professional recommendations. I'm sure many of you have them. They're kind of endorsements for your skills. And we have an influencer program, and right now there are over 500, and it's by invite only, and so it's really the top folks in multiple different professions, like Arianna Huffington or Sir Richard Branson. There's lots of different influencers that post long-form posts, and you can follow them, and you'll see that that is kind of an extension of the old Pulse platform that we also purchased. And so that's where a lot of that influencer content in long form is found, and you can follow that. So these are all additional data points that we understand about behavior on the platform. So when we think about B2B, we know that 79% of B2B marketers know that social media is effective. We know that 80% of B2B leads come from LinkedIn. And 43% of marketers say that they have sourced a customer from LinkedIn. So it's a highly effective platform for B2B marketing. However, the bad news is that many marketers really don't know how to use LinkedIn as a content marketing resource. So only a third, actually less than a third of marketers have a documented content marketing strategy overall. And about a third of marketers also find that their marketing efforts are, or their social marketing efforts are effective. So that's a huge opportunity. So when we think about LinkedIn, we understand that the behaviors there are very different from other social platforms, and we call that the mindset divide. This is based on research that we've done. And so if we think about social platforms in aggregate, we know that there's lots of different behaviors. And we've been able to segregate that between sort of a left brain, right brain, but you know, really it's more thinking about how people spend their time by engaging with personal content, you know, pictures of babies and dogs, videos of you know people falling down, versus professional content that really advances their career and their understanding of the world around them, which is where they invest time, and that's where we see LinkedIn playing the biggest role. We're not necessarily a platform where people will go to just kind of peruse and hang around. You invest time there. We take that seriously. So that mindset divide is also very obvious when you think about the influencers on the platform. So if we compare LinkedIn to Facebook, for example, and we don't mean to pick on Facebook. It could be anybody. It could be Google or Twitter or whoever, Snapchat. Some of our well-known influencers are, like I said, Richard Branson, Arianna Huffington, Bill Gates, Deepak Chopra, Jack Welch. Whereas on Facebook, if you did a search for what was trending, you'd see posts from Rihanna or, you know, Shakira or Eminem or, you know, any person that's more part of pop culture. And so as a professional, you wouldn't necessarily find a lot of interesting ways to advance your career from that. So this is what we call the seven wonders of the LinkedIn content world. And as I said, we take content very seriously on LinkedIn, which is represented by the acquisitions that we've made, as well as how we've laid out the experience, the member experience, which is continually evolving. So those seven wonders, if you can't see them, are employee profiles, employee influencer posts. So employees can post in long form as well. Hopefully you've been able to see that and do that. It's basically like having your own blog, but on LinkedIn, that you can share with your network. And of course, SlideShare, which is another resource that you're probably really familiar with. Company pages and showcase pages are really great tools for companies to really establish a brand on the platform. Showcase pages are a subset of a company page where you might have a parent company and then specific products that have a showcase page so that they can have content and engagement just around that product or about that service so it doesn't get muddled into all kinds of other lines of business. Direct and sponsored updates. Has anybody ran a sponsored update campaign? Great, okay. So sponsored updates are basically in-feed native units that are leveraged for engagement, for brand awareness, for demand gen. So it's really a full funnel tool. Direct sponsored content is a way for us to use A/B testing. So it's basically the equivalent of dark posting. Not many folks really know about that, but I think you know if you're working with an account rep, they are pretty good about explaining that. And then sponsored in-mail. How many of us have gotten some sponsored in-mail in the past? Okay, so you know what that is. And then, of course, our recent purchase of lynda.com, where we don't publish content for people. It's more of an online learning venue. Surprisingly, content is shared 15 times more than any kind of information around jobs. So where you might think of LinkedIn as a job source, the reality is that there's all kinds of other content that's being shared and looked at 15x. And more than half of that is being done on mobile. So when we think about marketers trying to reach the right people on LinkedIn, what we'd like to make sure everyone knows about is, of course, we have rich demographic data that has, you know, the ability to target on job function, seniority, company name, geo, industry, but then we can also target based on interests. So what kind of groups are they involved in? What skills do they have? What field of study do they have? And then we can also target based on persona. And so as an example, job searchers and opinion leaders and mass affluent and business travelers. So that's really interesting behavioral information that's based on how people move about within LinkedIn. And then, of course, you can add your own data, whether that's account-based marketing that you can upload a CSV file of emails and then do a direct match. And that's a new function that we just added. So if you have questions about that, certainly reach out to me after this. So these are all great ways to find the right people. But who are these people? They're folks that you would imagine, right? But there's such a wide variety. So I know this is kind of an eye chart for folks in the back, but so that, you know, essentially think about Fortune 500 business decision makers and employees and expats and financial advisors, business travelers, government and policymakers. And today we'll be talking about Microsoft's targeting of teachers, but students are also targetable. So let's get on to the OneNote case study. This is our client, Ari Shore. He's a product marketing leader for Microsoft OneNote. And the brand was challenged with the idea of trying to get this product, the OneNote product, out in front of the right audience so that they could start using it. And it dawned on them that teachers really need productivity tools, but there was no easy way to reach them, because teachers have a hard enough time trying to get their own trainings in every year, and trying to identify where they all are and congregating in a way that's targetable is really challenging. So they worked really closely with us to find a way to reach them and let them know about OneNote and try to get the awareness up and conversations going. So I've got a short video, it's about 3 minutes long, that I'll play for you.
What we've done from the OneNote team perspective is develop apps that are specific for education.
We discovered a need for teachers to have better technology and tools to use in the classroom.
OneNote provides the students the flexibility to do work in the way they want while giving the teacher the visibility into everything that they're doing in the classroom. That's kind of where you get this really cool environment for them to, you know, run the entire class.
Some of the challenges for OneNote is the awareness of the product, and then for teachers specifically, not knowing how to get started. And so we developed a site, onenoteforteachers.com, specifically geared towards teachers that provided them with interactive guides on how to get started with the product and then how to use it.
The thing with teachers is that they don't have time. They don't have time for professional development in general. They don't have time to get trained on technology in general. And so just getting it in front of them is really important. That's where LinkedIn really helped reach that educator audience.
LinkedIn was just the logical choice because we had a better chance of actually reaching our target audience. We had been collaborating on and off for several months, and we finally landed on doing a sponsored updates campaign, which would help us really drive that awareness among the educator audience.
That's the key piece. You know, not only are we reaching individual teachers through LinkedIn, but we're reaching a whole network.
LinkedIn was great from the beginning. They provided a lot of guidance.
They were really helpful in just giving us updates on the campaign, recommendations for what we could do to better the campaign.
Once we moved into the implementation phase, there was a whole team of people sort of behind the scenes that were helping to sort of manage the campaign on a day-to-day basis, looking at the numbers and the performance, optimizing the ad units, and really providing a level of analysis that we couldn't do on our own.
I think the most exciting part was seeing the traffic that it drove to our resources.
Sponsored updates was really a great first start for us. Our results exceeded expectations. We outperformed benchmarks across three different categories, and we did really well.
The big thing that we have heard from educators after this campaign and coming out with some of the resources specifically for teachers is they feel special. You know, they feel special that we as Microsoft are saying, hey, we want to further your goals as a teacher in the classroom and help your students be successful. Productivity is at the core of not only Office and OneNote, but also the entire company. And LinkedIn is about productivity in the workplace, productivity at school, and building your network in those locations. And so having both companies aligned in that goal of productivity definitely is a key.
So the interesting thing is that Microsoft entered into this challenge without knowing what they would find, and they knew that this niche audience of educators that would be open to productivity software would probably be like a needle in a haystack, when in fact, from our targeting and assisted optimization, we were able to find the right folks and just blow benchmarks out of the water. And so some of those metrics include a 0.45 CTR and a 0.54 engagement rate, and then also a significant amount of earned media that came off of that paid media. And you know, essentially what we saw or what we heard from Microsoft is that the sponsored update campaign, which was relatively small compared to some other Microsoft campaigns, really outperformed large-scale press releases and all of the promotion of this product on their .com site. So it's kind of interesting that happened. So some of the key takeaways from this case study are that there's a high degree of engagement of teachers on the platform, and they were really happy to see a high click-through rate to the .com. What they did, you know, fully understand is how to message this product to that audience and how to get the right kind of creative in front of them so that they were really engaged. So targeting professional audiences, no matter how niche, is absolutely possible and really effective on LinkedIn. Also, sponsored content campaigns perform really well from brand awareness to engagement to direct response objectives. So any questions about that? So we're going to talk about LinkedIn from a content marketing perspective, and there are a number of best practices. I only chose five just for ease of conversation today. Plus, you don't want to be here all day. But anyway, so when we think about content marketing, they're the typical content marketing best practices. So making sure that you're prepared for success, knowing who your audience is, using great content, scaling and optimizing, and measuring and iterating. So that's what you do on any platform in any capacity, but LinkedIn is its own animal, so you need to know the ins and outs of that. So preparing for success, you know, at a high level is essentially, you know, following what your brand guidelines are, staying true to your brand voice, looking beyond your immediate team for content. And I say that that's important because sometimes when you're on a content team, you kind of develop this one-track mind of like, this is how we always did it, and then you forget that there are other angles, that other ways of discussing product that you hadn't considered before, and you need that outside view. And sometimes there's research or there's other nuances to what your message should be that that you simply you can't find the words or the images for, and you really need to depend on other folks, other experts or subject matter experts. One of the big pitfalls of creating content is sticking to an editorial calendar, and that's really helpful so that you can understand what people have seen, what they've not seen, what's been responsive or not. Timing of things, planning for big product releases, planning for anything that might come up, being able to divert content when a crisis comes up, for instance. And I mean, there are lots of reasons why you should have an editorial calendar, just to keep everybody, all of your stakeholders informed, and making sure that any vendors that you're working with are also moving on track. And then lastly, you know, understanding the role of this content on the platform that you're using is really critical. Like the stuff that you might use on LinkedIn, you might not necessarily use on Snapchat or vice versa, right? So, you know, remember the seven wonders of the LinkedIn content world. So Benjamin Franklin reminds us that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So The next thing is understanding who your audience is. So we talked about this niche audience that Microsoft had, right? So if we pivot that into something that's probably a little bigger, like CXOs at IT companies like Microsoft or Intel or whomever, you'd think that that's a pretty significant group of people to focus on. But we know increasingly with some research that we've done that buying, especially large products like IT software or any other kind of bigger long-tail decision making, is done by committees. And so those committees have quite a bit of influence. So there's business decision makers like finance or marketing or IT that might inform when and how and with whom that purchase happens. And then there are folks that influence the business decision makers. And so you really have to consider what kind of content you create based on whether you're going directly for that very niche audience, even if it's a large one, or if you're trying to address the broader targeting universe that has an influence on that buying. And so the other thing that we realized from research is that the buyer journey for B2B has changed. It's very much focused on content marketing, of course, and social interactions. And many vendors have social media outreach to their customers, and that seems to be something that customers are really interested in, not for spam. They certainly don't want that. They want messages that are absolutely on target or thought leadership types of pieces to get them thinking about things differently. They want a differentiated relationship with their vendors, and this is where social really plays a big role. And it's not a heavy sell by any means. It's a very soft sell. It's very thought leadership oriented, and social is a great vehicle for that. So LinkedIn can help advertisers understand what's really happening on the platform and what kind of content and audiences are really most suitable to your message. And so what we can do is look at who's sharing what. What kind of content is being shared, as well as what topics does that content relate to. So for instance, who's sharing? You might realize, or you might find that people who are landing on your website, you know, outside of where they come from, might represent one type of audience, and then you might start thinking about campaigns that target the true audience that you really want. But if there's any kind of disparity between those two, you need to understand, well, if LinkedIn is the platform you want to try, what is it? Who is it that's sharing the content that would most likely land them on your page? What's being shared is also really important. There are lots of different places where content gets shared, and there's lots of places where brands can influence what kind of content they share. Of course, the company page, showcase page, their executives can write long-form posts, and that can be shared by the company. Their employees are the biggest resource for sharing information. In fact, the reach of employees writing long-form posts and you know, sharing thought leadership about the company is 10x of what a company itself can put out there. So that's a really important secret that you should think about, is coordinating your entire team on writing really great stuff. Can you promote their posts?
Yes.
I believe you can. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so the trick is finding, so we also have another product called Elevate, and it's essentially a content curation tool of content that, let's say, an organization's marketing team or social team might find articles from across the web or even write original content that is reflective of that organization's products or whatever. And so this curation tool will present a feed and categorize the topics, and then employees can go into Elevate and click on the topic that they want to share and share it out to all of their networks. And so that's a really great way to control what your employees are putting out there, encouraging them to share stuff, but sharing things that are brand safe and that really reflect where the company is going and what they're doing. And those are organic shares. And then, of course, the topics are really interesting, too. I mean, you would think that some of the topics that any target, like if they're an IT decision maker, would be pretty obvious. It might be around jobs, or it might be around cloud computing or Internet of Things. But sometimes they're just thinking about, you know, entirely different business topics when they're on LinkedIn. And that's kind of good to know, too. Of course, use great content. Yeah. This is definitely something you can pull up through LinkedIn, but you'd have to work with your account rep to do that. So we're working on new tools to make folks that use our campaign manager access a lot more and have a lot more help when they're using the tool itself. So great content, what does that mean? You know, these are probably things that you're already aware of, but if not, it's a good refresher. Think like a journalist. Make sure that you have a clear call to action with a great landing page experience. Can't stress that enough. If you have a great post and it does really well, whether it's organic or paid, but it goes to a landing page that is completely disconnected to what the message was, then that kind of falls apart. That kind of throws everything out the window. Drive engagement with an image or rich media. People can process images and media much more quickly than they can just reading all these words, and you can get faster engagement that way. And then sometimes making content really exclusive to people that follow your page is really interesting too, because that creates intrigue and mystery, and of course you don't want to do that continually or gate all of your content, but certainly do it in a way that's compelling enough to have people come back. And variety is the key to making people hungry for more, so I can share a little bit more with you on each of these points. But on average, it takes about 10 pieces of content for B2B buyers before they're ready to make a purchase decision. So imagine that. If you're a B2B buyer and you need to make some decisions about like what IT software or what kind of procurement piece that you need to pick up for your company, you're not going to just buy it with the first piece of content you see. You'll want to see multiple angles of it. You'll want to know how your peers are thinking about it. You'll want to know what the product roadmap might look like. You want to know how, product reviews. You might want to know all kinds of things. And so you can't limit your content calendar to a certain stream of messaging. You have to really make a variety of it. So thinking like a journalist is really all about not burying the lead. You know, make it really clear what it is that you're trying to say. Make sure that you're concise, because people don't have a lot of time to invest in reading long form. When it's in a post, and then customize your headline for the audience. And of course, A/B testing is really, really helpful through direct sponsored content. Or, the other thing about A/B testing that's really interesting is that people think, okay, well, I've got two pieces of content. This one says this, this one says this. This is a person in this image, and this is, a laptop or whatever. The reality is, you can't just go with like two pieces necessarily to compare to each other. And you certainly need to let a piece run until you have a statistically significant sample of understanding if it's working or not before switching out. Well, that's one of the things that we see when people do A/B testing. They switch it out too quickly, and they didn't realize that if they just let it go for another day or two, that enough people would see it, that it would perform really well. A clear call to action cannot be underestimated. So when compared to updates without links, including a link, can create two times the engagement. So here you'll see, I think it's an Ollie link, and that goes to a landing page that is really representative of what this paper, it really pays off what this ad is all about. And it doesn't have to be an ad. This doesn't need to be sponsored. It could be an organic. Of course, using rich media is really important. You can get lots of engagement out of this. Intel was one of my clients before I came, actually at LinkedIn, but also before LinkedIn when I was at Omnicom. And we used to talk a lot about content, and they actually have a showcase page for IT decision makers that is the highest, has the highest number of followers. And that was our goal. For whatever reason, the KPI was get as many followers on this IT community as possible, because they wanted to be number one in that space. And so we said, well, you can't just throw money at it. You need to make sure you have great content. And so we worked really closely with our content agencies and designed kind of this flow of how we think about content and who is the audience that really buys or is interested in Intel products. They're not just, let's say the nerdy type. They might have personality outside of like how you would just, define an IT decision maker with just very strategic thinking. They have lots of ways that you can address the IT decision maker that keeps them coming back for more. So in this instance, you'll see that they use lots of interesting imagery. They have very short but crisp messaging. Their logo is really prominent, but not obtrusive, and there's a clear call to action. YouTube videos are really great. We actually allow you to embed YouTube and Vimeo, and of course PDFs, and I think we also allow GIFs. So links to YouTube play in the feed directly, and they actually result in 75% higher share rate. So that's pretty interesting. And we've made it such now that those videos don't just stay in like a little thumbnail or bring you off page. They keep you within the feed and they get bigger. So that's a better experience. And here, this is what I mentioned before. Make it exclusive. Make people feel special. Make folks feel that if they keep coming back for more, that they'll find something else that's really useful that they might not have otherwise seen. And of course, keeping it varied is super important too. You can't just rely on a certain type of post or a certain type of image. Post onto SlideShare and start sharing some of that stuff. That's another avenue to create intrigue and have people learn about you. So scaling and optimizing is something that's really where it's at. I mean, there's a lot that you can do from an organic standpoint. Certainly you can make a really rich and robust company page and a showcase page, and we've seen lots of great interactions there, and some people focus only on that, and that's pretty cool. Long-form posts from some of the executives or employees even that work for the company really do great. And then, of course, SlideShare. You can share SlideShare files on LinkedIn as well. So from a paid perspective, what you can do is really amplify that message in a bigger way and target. Of course, you can target organically as well. But you can get a much bigger audience if you amplify through media. And so when we think about LinkedIn in the feed and beyond that, we talk about sponsored content or sponsored updates. LinkedIn inbox is a great way to get people informed through sponsored email. And of course, if you are trying to get in front of buyers early in the decision-making process or the buying process, then using on-site display ads is another way to use it. And then, of course, if you're thinking about other native ad formats within the LinkedIn ecosystem on that feed, then we have these dynamic ads that are relatively new. They basically serve content and message based on who the audience is, based on the page that they land on. So that might be any variety of numbers of creative and messaging combinations. So we can't stress enough that distributing from your owned properties is really critical. So that could be your company page, your showcase page, and your employee profiles. And again, sponsored content is something that lives on desktop and on mobile and tablet, and it's an in-feed native unit, and it's basically intended to build those customer relationships. Does anybody have any questions?
Can you sponsor like active or not? Mm.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. I can take that and take your name and email you back. Yeah, that's a great question. I would imagine that those groups would only show up if they are active.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know what the parameters are around duration of inactivity. Yes, that's a great question. So LinkedIn Lead Accelerator was a product that people were anticipating with lots of excitement. It was basically part of our Bizzo acquisition that was done in 2014 or 2015. And so essentially what it allowed you to do is put an insight tag on your site and be able to track through your LinkedIn feed or through your LinkedIn advertising who it is, or being able to match who it is that's landing on your website against their profiles on LinkedIn so that you could really retarget them in interesting ways. And so LinkedIn Lead Accelerator has not gone away. It's actually getting integrated into the campaign manager tool. So it'll just be part of, like, you'll see sponsored updates, you'll see all kinds of other ad units there, and Lead Accelerator. But the core piece of that and a lot of things moving forward will be that insight tag, which is basically code that you put into the footer of your website. So, but yeah, and the same thing with network display, which was another retargeting tool.
So you briefly touched earlier, we don't have the ad tag. We don't almost follow our company page as a our LinkedIn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really a great question. So we're talking about LinkedIn Marketing Solutions, but we have another line of business called LinkedIn Sales Solutions, and then yet another called LinkedIn Talent Solutions, which is what you might think for recruiters. So the Sales Solutions product is basically a subscription product that lets you see who is in your network and in your peers or your company's networks, let's say in aggregate, so that you can have like a soft introduction to them. And that social selling technique is really, really impactful. And so I think what you're asking is how do you find out who those networks of people are that you might already have a relationship with as a business and then market to them? And so that's a really, really compelling question that we're actually trying to look at right now. So the way we think about it is, you know, a lot of the marketing qualified leads that you might get through LinkedIn Marketing Solutions has to be in some way, you know, at some point, compared to some of the sales qualified leads that you get. And so that synergy that happens is something that we're really trying to solve for in a way that's streamlined. Mm-hmm. Well, no, that's not true. No, they are not going away. As far as I know, I've never heard that, but yeah, I can help you with that. So just, yeah, let me know if you need some help with that. I'm certainly happy. Well, there are university pages. I don't know if your university has its own page, but that's something to look into. And you can advertise from those just like a showcase page. Yeah, well, the advantages to going to a university page or a showcase page are that you can have like a very precise strategy around who you're trying to attract and for what reason and trying to measure against those KPIs, you know, and so you can build up quite a following and then have it directed towards a purpose. And that's not to say that you're not doing that right now, but let's say you change jobs. Then what happens to all that great goodness? They might follow you, which would be great, but then the university might think, well, we could really use some of that followership. So I guess the decision is between you and the university, but certainly there's, you as an individual, you can't amplify through media, but through as a university or a showcase page, you can. So you can get even bigger exposure through media that way.